We're turning back in the Word of God this morning to that portion that we read together, namely 2 Chronicles and chapter 27. We find here in these two chapters a great contrast, a contrast between Jotham, the godly king, and between Ahaz, a wicked king. And so often in Scripture, the Bible sets out for us a contrasting characters. We might think in the book of Genesis, for example, of Cain and Abel, two contrasting characters. Or between Isaac and Ishmael, between Jacob and Esau, characters, one of whom is bad, one of whom is good, one of whom loves God, the other rejects him. And we find here then in these chapters two similar contrasts, not between two brothers, but between a father and a son, two successive kings of Judah, one of whom was godly and great, the other of whom was wicked and brought great disaster and ruin upon the land of Judah. And so we need to see some sort of background to these reigns. And you'll recall how the kingdom of Israel, after the reign of King Solomon, was split into two. You'll remember that Jeroboam rebelled against Rehoboam, and that the 10 northern tribes became the land of Israel, and the two southern tribes of Benjamin and Judah remained under the line and lineage of David. And generally speaking, Judah had good and godly kings, more often than not. And in contrast, Israel tended to have wicked kings. We might think of some of the godly kings of Judah, such as Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah. And we might think of some of the wicked kings of Israel, such as Ahab and Jeroboam himself. But here we find two kings of Judah, one of whom was good and one of whom was not. But it's interesting that both men came to the throne in their youth. Jotham was but 25 when he took the crown, and Ahaz, his son, was but 20. And here we see the relevance of this, especially to young people. For even though these men were young, yet they had the chance to do great and mighty things. One did that which was mighty for God, and one rejected and disobeyed God. We might think of Josiah, that famous king who was but 8 years of age. We could even think of, in our own country, Edward VI. There's the picture of him on the stained glass window out there, who came to the throne aged 9. And we can see that age is not a limit or a barrier to serving God. Whether we are young or old, there is a ministry for us to do. That was certainly the case for these people. And we're reminded then that the seeds that we sow in our youth will lead to the harvest that we reap later in our lives. And therefore, how important it is that when we are young, in our youth, that we come to know God, that we pursue after the things of God, that we love God and place our faith in Him. In the same way that Judah needed and required a godly monarch, so we could say that this land of ours needs godly young people for the future generations. But in addition to both men coming to the throne in their youth, both men also reigned for an identical period of time. We read that both men reigned for 16 years. We see that in the first verse of chapter 27 regarding Jotham, and in the first verse of chapter 28 regarding Ahaz. They both governed for 16 years. Jotham died when he was but 41. Ahaz when he was but 36. And here we are reminded that time is short. Time is very short, and we do not know how long we have. Jotham may have assumed he would reign for many years, and so might Ahaz, but their time was cut short, and the only time that they had was brief. And we too do not know how long God might give to us on this life. And therefore, how important it is that we make use of the time that God gives us. Time is such a valuable commodity. However we seek to place a price on it, we find it to be of great value. Were we to use the market forces of supply and demand, we realize that it is in limited supply. We cannot get more of it. We know that it is in great demand. And so with limited supply and high demand, the price is great. And so therefore, with our time, it is so valuable indeed. And therefore, what a tragedy it would be if we were to misuse our time. We sometimes say, I lost track of the time. I lost time. We shouldn't lose that which we value. We shouldn't try to waste time. Or even worse, as some people say, I'm just killing time. Oh, that we would use our time and use it for God. Only 16 years was allotted to both Jotham and Ahaz to be on the throne. But in those 16 years, one used it for much good and one used it for much evil. It seems very interesting that in chapter 27, verses 1 and verse 8 seem to overlap quite considerably. We're told in verse 1 of chapter 27 that Jotham was 25 years old and that he reigned for 16 years. But yet this is repeated again in verse 8. There are only 9 verses here attributed to the life of Jotham. I'm sure there were many more things that the author could have written. He could have divulged greater details about the building projects or the battles which Jotham fought. But yet, writing under the inspiration of God the Holy Ghost, he emphasized his age and he emphasized the length of time that he reigned. And so I think, therefore, if the Bible puts great emphasis on this by its repetition, then we ought to do the same. And we should be reminded of the limited time that was afforded to Jotham to do good, and the limited time that is afforded to us to serve God. Jotham reminds us, perhaps, of certain missionaries who were young, lived short lives, and yet did much for God. We might think of Robert Murray McShane, that great and godly servant in Scotland, or Henry Martin, the great missionary, David Brainard, that wonderful missionary to the indigenous American population, or Ian Keith Faulkner, the missionary who went over to the Middle East and translated the scriptures into Arabic. Those 4 men had an average lifespan of 31. They died when they were young, and yet they achieved more for the Lord in their short years than most will ever achieve in many, many decades. And so then this emphasis in Scripture on the brevity of their lives, it reminds us of the importance of striving for God in all that we do. But in addition to the background, we might also reflect on the blessing that both of these men had. And both of these kings had a considerable blessing because they both had godly parents. They were both surely brought up knowing the scriptures and knowing the ways of God. Jotham was the son of Uzziah. And if we look at chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, we have a little summary of Uzziah's life. It says, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And we know that Ahaz was the son of Jotham. Jotham did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so both of these men had the great blessing of, as it were, growing up in a Christian home, of having godly parents. And that is a great blessing. But it is not something that we should be complacent about. And if we grew up in a Christian home, then we should be thankful for that tremendous blessing. But notice that the two men responded very differently to this similar background. Jotham followed in the ways of his father. He learnt from his father, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he knew God. But Ahaz did not obey and did not follow in of the upbringing that he had had. And so may we not be complacent and think that simply because we came from a Christian home, then that somehow makes us a Christian. We must have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. These two men responded very differently to the same or similar upbringings. And oh, that we would make the right choice and that we would come to know the Lord. We read that Jotham did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Ahaz did not that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Just a three-lettered word difference, that word not. But it says in the sight of the Lord. And that phrase, in the sight of the Lord, reminds us that all that we do is under the observation and scrutiny of our Heavenly Father. That when no one else can see us, the Lord can see us. That every action, every word, and every thought is under the observation of Almighty God. And I think it would be helpful for each of us to remember this as we go about our daily lives. That everything that we do, we live before the Lord. We are accountable to the Lord. And we do and act and operate within his sight. And so then we find that Jotham followed in his father's footsteps. He followed in his father's godliness. But he also learned from his father's mistakes. If we look in verse 2, it says of Jotham that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done. So he followed after his father's footsteps. And then in parenthesis it says, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that he never went to the temple. It doesn't mean he never went and worshipped God. What it is saying is it's contrasting with the great and serious mistake which his father Uzziah had done. In the preceding chapter, we read how Uzziah went into the temple and how he sought to burn incense into the temple, something which was illegal and contrary to the commands of God. God had stated very clearly in the scriptures that this was only to be done by a priest. And yet Uzziah sought to do this himself. Uzziah did not recognize the need for a mediator. He did not recognize the importance of the priest who was to speak of our great high priest who was to come, our Savior Jesus Christ. And so when it says that Jotham did not enter the temple, it means he did not make the same mistake that his father Uzziah had done. He learned from his father's mistakes. Now, Ahaz, by contrast, did not learn from his father's mistakes. Ahaz did the opposite and continued to make similar mistakes to Jotham. We said when we were talking to the boys and girls, Jotham wasn't perfect. Well, we find that within the scriptures. In 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 35, we read that Jotham did not take down the high places, those places which were used for the worship of false gods. Jotham failed in that regard. And we read then in chapter 28, verse 4, that Ahaz sacrificed on burnt incense on these high places. Ahaz did not learn from his father's mistakes like Jotham did. And the sins of Jotham had an impact upon the actions of his son. And so we find here a warning to parents and a warning to children. The warning to parents is that our sins can affect and influence our children. That was the case with Jotham's sin of not removing the high places. It led his son Ahaz to use them. But it's also a warning to children. Like Jotham learned from the mistakes of his father Uzziah and did not enter the temple to burn incense, so we must learn from the mistakes of others and to heed the warnings and instructions of God. And so then we've seen the background and the blessing, but let us come and compare and contrast the buildings which these two men constructed as well. For in chapter 27, verses 3 and 4, we read that Jotham built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, and he built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built fortresses and towers. We read that he built up the gate of God's house. Yet in the preceding verse, at the end of it, it says, still the people acted corruptly. Clearly, it would seem that the public did not support the building of the gate of God's house. They were acting corruptly. They had turned aside. And yet Jotham, apparently in contradiction to popular opinion, did that which was right. He also built up the defenses for God's people. He was not interested in trying to build great thrones and palaces for his own might and for his own glory, but instead he concentrated and built on the house of God and defending the people over whom he had authority. And yet we read that Ahaz also constructed buildings. We read that he built high places to burn incense. In chapter 28, verse 25, it says that in every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods. Clearly, both were men interested in construction and building within their kingdom. Jotham concentrated on building God's house, on building defenses for his people. Ahaz on building places of worship for false gods. We might ask the question, what are we building in our lives? Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. What are we building? Are we building up a good testimony? Are we building up a good witness for the cause of Jesus Christ? Are we living lives that glorify and honor God, that others may see our good works and give glory to God in heaven? Or are we concerned with only building that which is for ourselves, that which is of no lasting value, nor that we would build our lives most of all on the rock that is Christ Jesus, and not on the sand of ourselves, of our own works? And so then there's this contrast in their building. But there was also a contrast to be observed in the battles which took place as well. For both men were engaged in the art of war. Both had foreign enemies which needed to be conquered. And Jotham, we read in verse 5 of chapter 27, fought against the Ammonites, the king of the Ammonites, and defeated them. We read in verse 7, there were other wars which he fought, which were against Syria and against the northern kingdom of Israel. Now Ahaz, a little like Jotham, also fought battles. He fought against Israel, he fought against Syria, and he fought against the Philistines. But we read of Ahaz that he lost these battles. He lost these wars and conflicts, and he consequently lost the land. He lost a large number of people who were taken hostage, and he lost the wealth of his kingdom and sought to therefore try and acquire help from others by paying them off with the gold of the temple. And so we are reminded here that life is also a battle. Like Jotham and like Ahaz, we have conflicts in which we are involved. Not physical conflicts, not battles of sword and shield, but spiritual battles with which we have to fight. And we are reminded by the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians that we must lay on the whole armor of God, that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the rulers of darkness in this world. And oh, that we would rely upon God. Jotham was one who, when he went to fight, trusted in God. And oh, that we in the spiritual battles would not rely upon our own efforts. We would not rely upon our own strength, but rely upon God. And following God is the key to that blessing, is the key to gaining the victory. It was through the grace of God that Jotham acquired the victory, by trusting in God, whereas Ahaz looked to his other gods for help, which could be of no help whatsoever. And so if we want to win the battles in our lives, if we want to win the battles over sin, over the flesh, over the world, oh, that we would look to God to help us and to aid us, to defend us and to fight for us. We have the best armor that we can have. We have the shield of faith. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And oh, that we would go and fight and be victorious in these battles. But then we also see that a summary of both of these men's lives are offered. We might say it's a biography of them, as it were. Their lives are summarized in each of these chapters. We find the summary of Ahaz in verses 19 and verses 22. The Bible describes him as unfaithful. And surely if we had to summarize his life, if we were to write a biography of him this morning, we would say he was a man who was unfaithful. He turned to other gods. He rejected the Lord. And as it says at the end of verse 23, it was the ruin of him and of all Israel. And what a contrast that is with the life of Jotham. And we find his biography written here in verse 6, this summary of his life. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. It's interesting that it says he became mighty. Though he was the son of a king, it doesn't say that he was born mighty. No one is born mighty. People may be born with wealth and titles and estates, but no one is born mighty. But Jotham became mighty because his faith and in his trust was in God. And we do not want the might of the world. We are not looking for might by the world's standards. The world measures might in terms of political power, in terms of governing great kingdoms, passing legislation, or leading armies. That's not the sort of might and power that we're referring to. We are talking about being mighty for God. And surely that is what we should all strive to be. Not mighty for ourselves, not mighty in the eyes of others, and we might be considered to be the least in the eyes of our peers. But who cares if we are mighty in the eyes of God? And surely that is what we should strive to be. Jotham was mighty, yes, in political power, but surely he was also mighty in the eyes of God. And therefore, we should strive to be mighty, mighty for God. And how the church today needs people who are mighty. It needs people who are mighty in prayer. Those who wrestle with God. Those who, like Jacob of old, say, I will not let you go, except you bless us. Oh, that is the might which the church needs. It needs those who are mighty in the word of God, wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with that knowledge and relying upon the teaching of the word of the scriptures. The church needs those who are mighty in faith, those who take God at his word, those who stand on the promises and say, I believe, because God has said it will be so. Oh, that there'd be those who are mighty in faith. Oh, that there'd be those who are mighty in proclaiming the good news of the scriptures, of the glorious news that every man, woman, and child needs to know, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, that there would be those who are mighty in proclaiming the good news, not just from the pulpits of the churches, but also at the bus stop, to the neighbour, in the supermarket, to our colleagues, to our co-workers and students and friends, that we would be those who share the good news of the gospel, that we would be those who are mighty in proclaiming the good news. Jotham was a mighty man, and he was mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. That word prepared could also be translated as fixed. He fixed his ways. He was resolute. He was determined. And oh, that our hearts would be fixed on God. And if we want to be mighty for him and mighty for the Lord, we need to fix our hearts and our minds on God. And so then, finally this morning, the final contrast is in their burials. And we see a contrast here as well. In verse 9, it states that Jotham rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David. But in verse 27 of chapter 28, we read that while Ahaz rested with his fathers, they buried him in the city in Jerusalem, but did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. He was not worthy of being brought into the tombs of the kings because he was a great failure as a monarch. And he failed because his faith was not in the Lord. Jotham had a good and a godly legacy. He was buried with the tombs of his fathers. Ahaz was not buried in the tombs of the king, and his legacy was a disaster. Or what will our legacy be? How will we be remembered in years to come? Oh, it's not about being remembered as somebody who was mighty in political power, but all that we would be remembered as those who are godly, who loved God, who sought to strive for him. All that we might be remembered as one who is mighty for God and not like Ahaz, one who was unfaithful. And so we've seen then these two contrasting kings are so different in so many ways, but we see the underlying and fundamental reason for their differences. One had faith in the God of heaven, and one rejected the God of heaven. Know that each one of us would strive to be mighty for God, and that we would build our lives upon the Lord, and that in everything that we do it for his honor and for his glory. Amen. We'll join together and sing our concluding hymn, hymn number 781. O God of Bethel, by whose hand your people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage have all our fathers led. Standing together to sing hymn number 781. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.